Before my podcast, I wanted to record this introduction. I'm running this on Good Friday. Of course, people will listen to it a lot, but on Good Friday, I thought this was a powerful word, one of the strongest words I've ever run on my podcast. Mike Evans is a good friend of mine. We joke around a little bit at the beginning, but stay tuned. It is powerful. You've got to hear this word and to share it. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. Today, my guest is Mike Evans, and Mike has been a friend of mine for many years. We'll probably talk about that, but he's had a powerful message and a truth about something that David Wilkerson prophesied that actually ties into this pandemic. You're going to want to stay tuned to find out what's going all over the internet.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. This message by Mike Evans is just powerful. I watched the whole thing, and then I watched the shortened version of it. And Mike and I have been friends a long time. We text back and forth all the time. And I said, please, please, please do a podcast with me. So, Mike, thank you for being on my podcast. The listeners may not know that we've been friends back to the 70s. Back
72, when I took you to Israel.
Well, no, it's a little bit later than that. In the 70s, we knew each other through Jamie Buckingham.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right.
And it was the early 80s we went to Israel at the guest of the Prime Minister, Yitzhak Rabin. And I remember we went over the border into Lebanon, and probably shouldn't start with a funny story, but we were in some kind of rental car. We were packed in there. We had an Israeli soldier with us. It was the Uzi machine gun, I guess, in case we had a problem. And you were driving like a crazy person. I'll never forget.
Well, what do you expect me to do when you're dealing with terrorism? I don't want to pose for pictures.
Well, that's true. And there was actually a war in southern Lebanon, and we went over the border to see the ministry of George Otis, and they have a radio station up there. It was thankfully nothing happened. Boy, I'll never forget that. I said, Mike, you're going to break an axle if you're not careful. But anyway, we have been friends, and it's just been so interesting to see. You know, you were already of, you know, fairly prominent ministry back then, but now you've become such a spokesman for Israel, and now you founded this museum called Friends of Zion, which, listen, we need to do a podcast just on that, and it's just absolutely amazing. And I have to confess, I've known that you were working on this idea for years, and, well, I didn't give it much credence, frankly. But you have exceeded expectations in every single way, and God bless you for that.
Well, thank you, Steve. You know, the thing that I'm so proud of on the museum is what's going on right now. Right now, we've got an operation going on from the museum to feed Holocaust survivors. They're providing medicine and Passover meals, and the Prime Minister's office sent a very kind congratulations on that. And we've also opened up our campus for the soldiers, because in Jerusalem, probably half of the corona is in Jerusalem, and the military is having to go in and deal with that. So we are the closest spot for them. So we've made it available to them. And so that's, you know, more important to me.
Well, it is very important. Let's talk about this important word. I mean, we kind of started off teasing a little bit, remembering things, but really it was a message that you gave on your Jerusalem Prayer Team website, which has an amazing number of likes. How many is it right now?
Well, it says people reach 19 million, but it's got right now followers 836,000 and 67,000 shares and 33,000 comments.
That's just hard to get my mind around, but I listened to it. It was a message you gave. It was a powerful sermon, and you related it to the coronavirus, and you also talked about sin in the church. You talked about David Wilkerson. I want to put a link to the actual message so that my listeners can listen to it, because, you know, we're going to talk about it, but in this conversation, we can't do it justice. It's very, very powerful. And then you say that it's going to lead to a great awakening. Can you kind of walk us through that?
Well, again, I can't take the credit for that. That was Brother Dave's words. You know, Steve, I began my ministry with Teen Challenge in Arkansas. My wife and I in 69 went there, and we ran the work, and we became acquainted with Brother Dave back then. He had actually made his property available to us. It was called Camp David for our ministry. But So there was a relationship. Now, in 1986, he invited me to have breakfast with him at the Embassy Suite by the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. I think you know where it's at. And over breakfast, he shocked me. He showed me a letter that he had written to Richard Dorch, who was running at that time PTL under Jim Baker. And the letter said that in 1 year from the date of this letter, the judgment of God is going to fall on PTL, that you're fornicating with brick and stone. Flee now, because bats will fly through the empty buildings. Well, not long after that, I was at PTL. You might have been there. Were you there for the minister idea exchange?
I was there, and you know, we might tell people who maybe don't know that era of American history, right, and especially the church, PTL was just growing, growing, growing. It was huge.
It was
well known.
Yeah.
He had built that Heritage USA. In fact, someone said that it was the number one tourist attraction in the state of North Carolina.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it was like the Christian Disney World.
It really was.
But anyway, when we went to an idea exchange, Brother Dorch came up to me, Richard Dorch, and he said to me, I heard you were with David Wilkerson. I said, yeah, I was. He said, well, did he tell you about the letter? I said, yeah, he did. He said, well, and he started laughing. He said, and it breaks my heart to even say this. He said, you know, you can tell Brother Dave that I'm not fornicating with brick and stone. If I ever fornicate, it won't be with brick and stone. And he laughed. Well, it wasn't so funny, because 1 year from then is when the story broke on Jessica Hahn in the Charlotte Observer. But David Wilkerson stopped there and he said to me, I want to talk to you about what I see coming on America. Because he was describing the idolatry of PTL. Then he said, I see a plague coming on the world, and the bars and the churches will be shut down. The plague will hit New York City and shake it like it's never been shaken. The plague is going to force prayerless believers into radical prayer, into their Bibles, and repentance will be the cry from the men of God in the pulpit. And out of it will come a third great awakening that sweeps America and the world. Now, I, as a writer like you, wrote the notes down of what Brother Dave said, stuck in an old Bible. I hadn't even used that Bible for decades. And as God was dealing with me in prayer about me repenting, me humbling myself, the Lord led me to pick up my old Bibles, and the note fell out. I was crying and shaking. It scared me half to death, because it was exactly what the Holy Spirit was saying to me, and I had forgot that Brother Dave had actually said that in 1986. But he said a great awakening is coming.
And so how can this be that something so bad would turn into a great awakening? You know, I remember that whole era with PTL.
Right.
You know, we covered it in Charisma Magazine. I mean, it was just like a mule kick to the body of Christ.
The thing. And I thought the same thing. And here's what the Lord brought me to. I started, you know, I do a lot of research, and I started thinking, is this America he's talking about? And I said, when did the last great awakening? And then I found them. The two great awakenings that America had that shook the entire nation happened around the time of the American Revolution and Civil War. And I thought, oh my God, I see that. You have two major crises, a confrontation between darkness and God's sense of light. The first one, the pilgrims came to this country on fire for God, but their children didn't. Their children became cold in their soul, and America started pushing away. And then all of a sudden, here comes this manifested great awakening that shook the nation. And then you had the American Revolution. You had another one. Then you had the Civil War. And I thought, wow, he said there's going to be a third great awakening. So I think you understand spiritual battles, because Charisma has been talking about the spirit realm for decades. And so this is a battle between darkness and light will prevail.
Tell me how you got this message. I mean, everyone's wondering what's happening. We don't really understand viruses and pandemics, and all of a sudden...
Well, I'll tell you how it started. Many years ago, I went to India to hold my first crusade in India. And early in the morning, about 1:30 in the morning, I woke up crying with my pillow soaking wet, and I couldn't even breathe. Why? Because I had a dream, and in the dream, I saw the throne of God, and I saw the Lord. And the Lord looked at me, and he looked down, and I saw idols, big ones and tall ones and short ones and fat ones. And he said to me, whose idols are these? Oh, I was going to speak up quickly and say they're the idols of the Indian people. But before I could open my mouth, I saw my name on every idol. I saw my name on those idols. And I woke up crying, devastated, feeling like the dirtiest human being on the planet. I told my daughter, I said, I can't preach tomorrow night. I've seen the Lord and I've seen my sin. Well, the next night, my team kept saying, Mike, you've got to, you've got to. So I got up in that meeting and I said, see Jesus. And then I said it the second time while I was preaching, and I said it the third time. The third time I said it, one of my associates came to me and said, give me the microphone. I said, why? He said, there's a doctor who has to say something. A doctor of a blind school with Hindu girls took the microphone and said, the three little girls are seeing. And when you said, see Jesus, their eyes were opened. Well, Steve, I went back to my room that night, totally exhausted. I thought, God, I've seen my sins. I've seen your face. And I felt so dirty, and yet you show up so greatly. The next morning when I got up to go down to breakfast, it was at the Sheraton Hotel, I believe, where I was in the Madras. I couldn't go down. I opened the door, and there was a line from my door all the way out into the street. People had found out about this on the Indian wire service, and they got the first guy was the Speaker of the House of the Indian Parliament. He was a Muslim with a Hindu aide. They wanted me to pray for them. Never in my life have I seen that. Well, that night when we went to the beach area, there was definitely well over a million people because the word had got out. But I didn't go there as a God-anointed man of faith. I got up in that platform as a broken human being that saw my sins, and God kissed the meeting with his glory.
And then what happened?
Well, revival broke out. I mean, we were having so many come to the Lord that we couldn't even water baptize them. We just get a big group, I don't know how many at a time, 5,000, 10,000, and tell them to get in the ocean. And when I say in the name of Jesus, go down and come up and praise the Lord. We had a tremendous move of God. But what the Lord showed me in that particular time was idols in my life. And as I started praying about this theme, the Lord said to me, there's idols in the church. What? He said, you know, he said that the church can become an idol. And the pastor can become an idol. People can become so enamored with their successful church and their successful pastor that they lose their intimacy for me. And they take that instead. And he said, all the idols are going to come down. And he said, I want the men of God to repent from the pulpit. And I thought, you know, Lord, that's not easy. I don't hardly ever see a pastor stand up before his congregation and say, the Lord convicted me this week. And he showed me something in my life that's not right, and I want to repent. That's hard. That's hard to do. But it's not hard to do when you've seen the Lord and you've been in his presence and his glory's on you. It's not hard to do because you're a dead man and you know it.
Well, you know, your message goes into a lot more depth, of course, and it's well worth watching and listening to. But how do you think this coronavirus is going to end up? And really, what is it going to take for this great awakening to happen?
Well, Steve, people have taken and allowed things to become their idols. Money and materialism has become an idol. Their success and the reputation has become an idol. Listen, I support President Trump for all he's done for Israel. Never has been a president in American history that has done for much for Israel. But I sat in one of his rallies in Dallas, Texas, and I saw believers lifting him up to the point of idolatry. And the Spirit of God, I mean, I'm there. I met with the president before he went out. I'm in the inner circle of this group. I sit there and I cry because God said, this is idolatry. He is flesh. You are flesh. No flesh will glory in my presence. And I think that God is shaking us because he's taken all of our security away. All the things that we were comfortable in are been removed. And he did it. And I mean, the Lord showed me, it took me to 2 Chronicles, which everybody knows the scripture. If my people are called by my name, but he said, read it all. And I read and I saw that the glory came down at the dedication of the temple. But that night, Solomon went to sleep and he saw a divine dream. And in the dream, God said to him, when I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, and when I send the plague, if my people, which are called by my name, will repent of their wicked ways. I thought, wait a second, you're saying your people called by your name have wicked ways? That's what he told Solomon. And then I went over to Matthew 24 and I saw it again. They're bragging about the temple, the disciples, and Jesus says there's not going to be one stone upon another that not be turned down. And then he rocked their boat by saying something similar. But God is pulling all the idols down in our lives. And that's a good thing. And he's bringing us to a point that we have to desperately cry out to God. You know, Steve, when I went into the ministry, there was something called praying through. We didn't just take a little prayer. We used to get hold of the horns of the altar and weep before the Lord, if it was for hours, until God gave us a breakthrough in our hearts and our burdens. You don't see that anymore. You don't see that kind of prayer anymore. You don't see conviction. Sinners are not being convicted in churches anymore. Instead of the sinners going to the bars, they can go to the church now and feel comfortable to pick up girls or guys, picking up guys. There has to be a holy conviction that comes from heaven, not man-made, where God, the divine interrupter, steps in the middle of this thing. And I, one more short story is, I went to Kensington Temple, a great church that was birthed out of the Jeffrey Brothers Revival many years ago, and I had one of my best sermons. I was so proud of myself, and I couldn't wait to deliver it. Well, before I left, I had a motorcycle accident, and I was all tore up in my arm, my just burns. And then I got up to London, and shockingly, a cab hit me on the shoulder. I was just on the sidewalk, and the cabs are tall. Well, I thought, the devil, you're a liar. You're not keeping me from preaching my sermon. And I got up in front of Kensington Temple, and the sermon was the Capernaum sermon. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. At the end of the text, it says, and he sat down. And the Holy Spirit said, shut up and sit down. I was like in shock. Never in my life in the pulpits has the Lord ever told me, announcing a text, shut up and sit down. I struggled with it. I was trying desperately to preach that sermon, but the Lord would not allow me to open my mouth. And I looked at the pastor, Colin Dye, and I could tell he was very uncomfortable. And I went over and sat down. Well, those next couple minutes were the most horrible minutes of my life. I saw the look on his face, and there was nothing in the congregation but confusion, thinking that I had lost my mind. Then all of a sudden, way in the back of the church, the last row, the glory fell. And there were people crying and weeping and repenting and being healed. And then it hit another row and another row. It went row by row, right by row, until it hit the top like a mighty ocean wave of glory. And a great revival broke out in that church that I led for many months. But it happened because I shut my mouth. And I allowed God to take over. And I think that's what the Lord's trying to do. He's trying to get us all to humble ourselves and seek his face and let him be in control and not us.
You know, I'm so moved by what I hear you saying. And, you know, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what idols do I have in my life? What is my response to this? But Mike, if you and I humble ourselves and if we pray, how does that fix it in the church? Because, you know, there's millions who won't or who don't know or their eyes aren't opened. And how does this happen?
The remnant, you know, all through history, it was a remnant. If you take the time of the Jews were in Babylon, there was a remnant. One of them was called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, we are not careful to answer you. You can throw us in the fire. We're not careful to answer you. The God we serve, we will not bend. And Daniel had the same position. Well, out of it, God burst a move of God that moved on the heart of Cyrus and delivered them. Esther, all through, God has done this. So it's not going to happen with the vast majority, but it's going to happen by those who really genuinely want to see the face of God, even if they have to see it the way I saw it in India, with their hearts being broken and all their idols coming down. For God's glory to come, anything is worth it, Steve, anything.
Mike, talk to me about how we can get this word out. Of course, you're doing this on the Jerusalem prayer team, this word about David Wilkerson. I've had 3 or 4 people email me or send me something on Facebook, you know, this quote in particular about how the churches would be shut down and the bars would be shut down and so forth. I mean, it almost seemed like it would be impossible. And now we see that it's happening. This word is getting out, but we have to get it out far and wide. What can people
Steve,
do?
You have lots and lots of pastors who listen to your podcast and read your messages. These precious pastors are the key to this thing. Listen, when God dealt me with me about this, I didn't want to preach it and say it. I said to the Lord, Lord, I can't do this. I'll have some pastors mad at me. He said, you have a choice. Do you want them mad at me or me mad at you? I said, Lord, I'll do it. But he said, be sure of one thing. Not everyone's going to receive it. And so, Steve, that you've got pastors that the Holy Spirit will deal with their hearts like he dealt with mine and say, I want, for the sake of this nation, for the sake, you know, I've got a saying that I have in front of my desk all the time. It says, be there, finish strong. Because you and I, Steve, know lots of people in ministry who didn't finish strong, who weren't there for the Savior, for their wife, for their children, for those who invested in their lives. But they won't be there if they don't come back to the cross, if they don't come back and not depend upon all their slick ways and let God break us and crush us like stone so that he can bring that great awakening.
Boy, that's a powerful word. Tell people again how to connect with you and the Jerusalem prayer team.
We'll
put this video out on this, but maybe somebody's driving down the road and they don't have the link. How could they get it?
Because they can go to the Jerusalem prayer team Facebook site. It's there. But I want to also say one other word about the site. You know, you've known my darling son since he was a very young boy. And Michael's 34 now. But Michael's leading a daily prayer meeting that is the largest in the world. From our site, Michael's has more than 2 million people a week that are online with him interceding and praying. A millennial that's leading a prayer meeting. People must say, I don't know who Michael Evans is. Good. God does. God chose this young man to lead this prayer movement. So I believe with all my heart that God's going to do this, Steve. I think the only ingredients for it to happen is for God's people to humble themselves and say, Lord, I want to see your face. Whatever it takes, break me, Lord. Break me of my stubbornness and my pride. Break me, Lord, so that for the sake of the hurting, you know, I think about the suffering in America the unemployment, the sickness, the fear. Well, there's only one thing that's going to heal the souls of America, and that's Jesus and his glory. And we need that more than we need anything in the world.
Amen. This is so important, and I've been so deeply moved. I hope the listeners are deeply moved. I hope people will share this far and wide. We've got to get this word out. And as we wrap up, I'll give you the last word.
Lord Jesus, break us. Show us your face, Lord. Pull down the idols in our lives, Father. Heal our land. God, we have wicked ways. Reveal them to us, Lord. God, David Wilkerson was right. He heard from you. Lord, this man was greatly mocked and criticized in his day, like Jeremiah. But God, you've used this precious brother, and you're using him now. So Lord, be glorified. Forgive us of our sins, and heal our land in the beloved name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And there's nothing more to say, so we'll just leave it there.
Thank you, Steve,
for listening.
God bless you.
God bless you too, Mike.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.